Evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and we've got a wonderful paradigm shifter. I always say that because it's always true, but in this case, we have someone who's multi-dimensional, Ashtar. Many of you have heard of him, and we're talking to Lady Ashtar, Terry Simons, for a few minutes before he comes on, and they've been touring Japan a lot. So welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you. I am very honored to be here with you.
And I'm very excited to be talking with you and Ashtar. And you guys have been all over, I was going to say all over the world, all over the universes, right?
That's true, yes.
Yeah.
In my past, have been in Europe and Mexico, Canada, U.S. Now I'm spending a great deal of time in Japan.
Isn't that wonderful? Do you love it?
Oh, I love it. It's pretty awesome to spend half a year here in California and half of the year in beautiful Japan.
Wow, and the people are really receptive.
Yes, they are.
Now, the last time you were on, what was it called? The Great Big Melt had just happened, I think.
Was it the tsunami?
Yes.
Yes, they had the big earthquake and then the tsunami. So things have changed, although I was in Sendai this trip, and you can still see and feel the energy that's been left behind.
Wow. And are people still hustling to kind of put it all back together?
It was very interesting. When I landed in Sendai, I flew in. The airport there is the airport that we saw so many images of that was underwater, mm-hmm. and it has been completely reconstructed with a brand new rail system going in there, which was quite nice. Hmm. All the rice fields and paddies are all in place, but it was kind of strange because I hadn't realized the tsunami had come up that far, and you could see areas in the rice paddies where there was blank squares, and it was where the houses had been.
Oh, my.
They had recently built a freeway that acted as a dike to protect Sendai. Hmm.
It's sort of hard for us to actually see that. And I mean, it's shocking, right?
Oh, yes, it really is. The people, you know, you're in the city of Sendai, and you don't really notice any changes. But on the outside, when you go where the water actually came up, it's very different. The people, you can feel their eagerness to get on with life, and yet there's, I want to say, a bit of an oppression mm-hmm. because of the fear factor, I suppose. People are a little wary of going in toward the nuclear plant at Fukushima, mm-hmm. which is quite near to Sendai.
Mm-hmm. What a complicated number of things that went on. Mm-hmm. How many people were lost in that?
You know, I don't know. I think the last number, and this is a guesstimation, was about 26,000. Mm-hmm. It was a huge number of angels that lifted off the earth to mm-hmm. teach us many beautiful lessons.
And a lot of them are missing people,
oh, yes.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and consciousness is going well over there, is it?
It really is. It is. You know, going back to the whole disaster, it's been interesting. They shut down all of the nuclear plants to discover they don't really need the nuclear energy.
Great.
So they're looking at green energy, their wind and solar, really trying to go into developing new technology toward green energy.
That's wonderful.
That's exciting. The consciousness there is huge. It's
wow.
Very exciting.
Now, the whole thing about detoxing, all of that, the meltdown, you did tell us last time that ginkgo biloba is really good for the nuclear fallout, is really good for helping people detox from that, hey?
That's true. In fact, after World War II, there were many ginkgo trees planted all over Japan. Hmm. And it was determined that the tree itself will detox the air. So they were breathing healthier air, not irradiated from the radiation.
Yeah, and has that been helpful? Because I always think about that when I think about radiation and the nuclear thing. I think of how clever that is to balance it out. You know?
And it is a beautiful balance. The cities are very interesting. They're cities with huge high-rises, and yet there'll be parks, and they've maintained the Buddhist temples and the Shinto shrine areas. So in the middle of these huge cities will be beautiful park-like settings that are designated, you know, as the old and ancient way of religion. It's it's really quite phenomenal to see.
I love that. I love that you're getting that experience of really participating in a, what would you call it, like a multi-layered civilization.
It really is. It mm-hmm. is from the time of the shoguns to current times with the emperor and modern Western, if you will, Japan.
I just love it. You also go to Tokyo, the big one.
I go to Tokyo. Yeah, I'm in several areas. As with any large city, there's, you know, the different divisions. And so I'm in many, many areas, from Nakameguro to Gotanda to, and the list goes on, Shinjuku. So I'm quite broadly spread in the Tokyo area.
That's so wonderful. I'm so glad. Well, it's wonderful to have you back on the show. And I've got some big questions for Ashtar about the nature of our planet and what's really going on with awakening, whether it's in Japan or anywhere else.
All right. Shall we bring him in?
I'd love that.
Okay. Let's see what he has to say today. Give me just a moment now.
Thank you.
Well, 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 my little ones, a beautiful blessing it is for you. Oh, it is a grand time in your world, a time where it is that your hearts will reach out into the universe, and as it is you do, you draw the light, the universal light, down into Earth, where there is grand healings in every step you take. It is a blessing, my little one, to be here with you. You do show me quite a grand series of questions for me.
I thought I would keep you busy.
Oh, this is good. We enjoy very much to have communication with the beautiful beings of Earth, where it is that we can address those questions that sit firmly in your hearts.
Thank you. Well, I was on your website, or on Terry's website, Lady Ashtar's website, and there was reference being made to the shift of the 2012, and I thought, I would love your perspective on how you perceive, how are we doing with the shift? Did we make a shift? Is it still underway? Is it kind of radiating throughout humanity, or are there pockets, or what's going on?
As it is that the world has shifted, and as it is that the universe is moving forward, it is a beautiful time. 2012 has come and gone, and it was a time of the great Mayan calendar exchange, if you will. We've moved, as earthly would be, has moved from that of the Mayan calendars ending into this new time. It is the time of Aquarius. It is a time where Earth has moved in a direct alignment with the constellation of Aquarius. And so now she's in her very feminine energy. Much more of the feminine qualities will become more apparent in that of worldly existence, communication, that of the nurturing, teaching, to explore on a more feminine way, if you will, all that it would be to bring about healing and love into the earth. Where at times it was of the past, where it was a masculine energy, it was more about the flight and fight, and now it will be more in regards to communicating and compassion, working toward common goals, working toward the opportunity to exist and coexist in a more peaceful nature. You'll find that much of the discussions will take place across the table rather than across the land. So it's a very, very good time you're moving into. You've recently come through a time where it is that your celestial planets have had a good time with the earthlings. It has been grand. They have found themselves in a place with Mercury and Saturn and, well, many of the others. And now you have the great trines that are having such a good time. The water symbols are coming up. But it is a time where Earth is growing and becoming more and more light. Humanity is recognizing the need for peace, the need to create a world based on peace. And it is, well, many tribal wars are continuing. You find them all over. If you will look, rather than seeing them more on a worldly level, think of them in terms of a tribal level. And you will see that there are shifts that are taking place to bring about a more peaceful world. it is really a very, very good time as you're moving forward. Earth is wanting to ascend. It wants to rise into its fifth dimension. And as a result of that, there is a energy that is shifting amongst all of you. And as each of you are moving more into your higher level of vibration, your cellular bodies are beginning to vibrate higher. It is allowing for that energy to flow into Mother Earth. And as she is beginning to vibrate on a higher level, the consciousness is going to rise up into a more godly sense, and the world is going to become a far more peaceful place.
How long do you think all of that's going to take? Is it like 50 years or a year or any concept? I know you don't know all of the time, but...
Every moment of every day, it is moving forward toward a greater sense of, I'm going to say, unification with the universe or God presence. And so it is in constant shift in that direction. Before it is that the Earth will be ascended into the fifth dimension. And what that means is that we're ascending as an earthly body. It is ascending into the light. It is becoming more and more in the God presence. Many have said times ago where it is that heaven and earth will become one. And that is about the fifth dimensional shift. Therefore, as it is that each of you are moving forward in this Aquarian time, acceleration of the ascension process of humanity has increased many, many fold. So earthlings are working very hard to create a higher level of vibration within their own worlds, moving toward a greater universal consciousness, universal being God presence, universal consciousness, so that it is that in this process, each of you reaching out to touch another, you bring them along with you. And soon it is that all of the earth will be in this consciousness. You are in the Aquarian age for approximately 3,000 years. And so it could take that long, but I see a great shift coming very, very quickly. Will you move into the heaven and earth expression within the day? No. It's going to take a few years, and it may take a couple generations. But you're moving that direction. That's what's key. Stay focused on being the best you can be and grow in the light, treating one another in that of a conscious way so that you are recognizing the good that you can create all around you.
Now tell me, thank you for that. That really gives me a lot of thought, which is more about like our personal journeying and our personal awakening is what's the crux of this change. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
And is that the awakening? Is that what awakening is all about, is moving the earth and the universe, the earth and heaven, into one reality?
In that of the final stages, you would say, yes, it is true. It is that you are, each one of you, attempting to bring about a sense of, yes, heaven to earth, a higher consciousness. So, as it is that you are each one taking steps forward toward your greatness, you're going to find that as there is light and dark, earth is duality, you're moving more and more into that light presence, so that as it is that you are doing so, you're moving more into what would be considered that like a heaven state. Many in your world have created a great amount of fear around the fact that there's going to become a two-sun solar system. It's not going to happen. There's going to be two Earths, the good Earth and the bad Earth. That's not going to happen. It's going to become an Earth that's going to fly. Well, she flies around the sun already. How beautiful is that? So there is a lot of shifting going on, but it's not going to be a physical shift like that. And it is when you say in your world that fear sells, well, it is very easy to project all of these thoughts. What's going to happen is Earth, and you see it time and time again, if you will go back through history and reach forward, that Earth and those that inhabit Earth are becoming conscious of one another, and you're becoming aware of how your energies affect all living things. And when you look at it in a total scape, you can see that you are in a present place where you are really working toward that upliftment, that rise in energy, so that as humans you coexist in peace. You coexist as though you are in the reaches of heaven. It is really going to be very, very beautiful.
Well, I'm encouraged by that. So let's focus on a few individuals like Snowden, who's really been bringing our awareness to the fact that we're being spied on and that some of the tricks of great governments and organizations and so on are pretty lethal. And, you know, like, what do you think of him? Is he a hero? Is he someone who's trying to bring that heaven and earth link? What do you think about him?
Well, let's back up into history. And let me say, throughout all of history, you've had those that would be considered spies. It is the nature of all of you wanting to know what the other person is doing. You're very nosy. You want to know. And so it would be.
Well, the hidden agenda is pretty scary usually, isn't it?
Well, that's true. And in modern time, where it is that you are currently, some of the information that can be retrieved through that of governmental resources, you will find yourselves in a position that it could be quite dangerous. When it was that he began, he was not doing it for the good of all. He was doing it for the good of self. And as that took place, then he has now become, to a certain degree, martyrized, because it is that people look at him and say, all right, they're exposed, and now. But it's really about getting the information so the other guy has the greater connection. I wouldn't say that he's going to... He's not raising consciousness. He's created quite a stir. He's been a little bit of a mischief maker. Mm-hmm. He's one that he's not really willing to come forward and stand his ground. He wants to hide behind that of the others that will, shall we say, protect him from being held responsible for his behavior. So to say that he has done good, well, in that regard, I would say that he has opened up some doors where it is that knowledge has been exposed. To say he's done some harm, I would say that's equally true, or perhaps even more so, in that he has allowed for a world to become, to a certain degree, more explosive.
Because people can't handle the information.
That's
so
correct.
So then from there, I want to go to, there's so many conspiracy theories, and we keep hearing about how there is this great plan to kind of corral humanity, and it's run by those who are beyond our planet or hidden leaders and so on. So I kind of think of them all as related somehow. What do you think about the conspiracy talk that is prevalent these days?
Oh, your world, it's a beautiful place.
It
is quite grand. You know it is, humans are very, very curious ones. They are very strong in their presence, because it is when they look at the world around them, they're all very curious and eager, and this is a very good quality. Your curiosities are very grand, and it is through your curiosities that you are developing a very, very advanced civilization. This is good. However, when you look at all the conspiracy theories, from that of ETs and UFOs to the expression of the Illuminati and the very wealthy that are going to control your world, well, it's already here. You have presidents and kings and, well, all your great rulers, the emperors and etc. They're all present, and they will always be there. But it really is greed and money that rules your world. And so if you were to say that you would take the top rich and put them in a room to control the world, that's what's happening. Hmm. It is the global market and greed that controls what's going on in your world. So to some degree, there is a conspiracy theory. Now, is there an Illuminati where it is that these very wealthy go behind closed doors and down into great dungeons where they sit and they plot? No, that's not going on. Are there great UFOs out there and ET groups that are controlling your world? Well, no, that's not true either. What is happening is you have very, very expansive minds, and your minds and your consciousness is allowing your global markets and your global mineral sites to become very, very important and precious. those with the financial ability to control these, in many, many ways, control the leaders of your world. And so in that way, you could call it the conspiracy, I suppose, but it really is about greed.
Well, that's disheartening, isn't it?
Well, but that is what the consciousness is shifting from. When you're moving into the fifth dimension and you're moving into this higher level of consciousness, greed will not become so important because you will be coexisting and you will be working together to support one another, and you will be creating a world that is really very, it will be profound in its abundance, because it won't be one person that is saying, I control it all. But you will be working to coexist. There will be no more hungry children.
Well, there will be one moment with the greed and so on. Are the people who are in, you know, we're calling them the billionaires or whatever, who are in power because of the amount of wealth they have, will consciousness awaken in them as well, in spite of themselves?
Yes, it will.
And that's how greed will be dealt with?
Yes. That's very correct.
And so what will happen with, do you see in transit, well, thank you for that, actually. Do you see in transit the move from oil, for example, to free energy, having all these innovative ways of running products and running services?
There will be a transition, yes. It will become necessary. As it is that each of you, and this is many, many, many years into the future, when it is that the existence of oil will be very, very minimal, as well as some of the gases of the world that it is you call natural gas, they will become very, very depleted. And so it will be necessary to harness some of the free energy. You already are harnessing free energy such as wind and solar, but there is a very large footprint that goes along with those in terms of your disposal of these objects and the creation thereof. So it is, and with solar, it is based too upon the petroleum product. So you have many interrelated activities there, but what you're really referring to is the free radical electricity and some of the energies that are floating around in your world, you might say, so that you can collect all the protons and neurons and electrons and all this and pull it all together into a place that is usable in your homes and in your world.
Exactly.
And yes, you will be doing that.
Oh, that would be exciting. We'd like to do it right now.
Yes, it would be very good for you. And there is some experimentation with it. If it is that you will just allow yourself for a moment to experience, and you can do it through your metering systems, how much electricity is emitted out of your very large, high wires that transmit huge volumes of electricity, it is very profound how much electric energy is lost as it is traveling across those lines out into your atmosphere. And if that could be harnessed, and it's being worked upon to be harnessed, you would have a much more efficient system.
Well, here's another question, is we're using fracking, and it's very scary for a lot of us that they're using fracking to get oil out of places that don't have, like, gushing wells. What do you think of that? Isn't that kind of scary? Isn't that dangerous for Mother Earth?
It's very destructive. Earth is an interesting planet. She is very resilient, and she will respond in an appropriate nature. In other words, yes, the fracking is bad. Yes, it does pull the petroleum out where there's just minute amounts. It's very, very destructive. It's very difficult for any living organism in that area. In most cases, they do not survive. And so for a living planet, the portion of the planet that is living, plants and animals, small, even the bacterial activities that are taking place, it is all very interrelated. So these areas become, you might even say, dead areas. But Mother Earth is very resilient. And over time, through the processes of erosion, the processes of rebuilding, reseeding, she will reseed it and it will grow back. But it will take thousands of years.
That's very sad to me, anyway.
She will regenerate. That's the positive word here.
but the fact that it takes quite a while. So what about our food supply? It seems our food, I often think that the food supply and the water supply are being polluted and poisoned all over the world, and the GMO products and so on are a part of that, aren't they?
Well, that's true. Because with GMO, it is necessary to create, well, let me back up and say through the science of GMO, it was necessary to create a greater product that would produce at a greater volume in a smaller area, et cetera, and be presentable to your public markets in a way that it was fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're beginning to create all of these modified objects in the process of GMO. The modification is very interesting because the foods were designed to be produced so that it is, by God, if you will, in a universal sense. They were created so that it is that the organisms would cohabitate together, so you would eat your tomatoes and apples, and even that of your animal product, your beef and pork, etc. You will eat these, and they will be grown in a fashion, if left natural, so that your body's cellular structure will absorb the nutrients. Well, with GMO, many of the nutrients no longer are absorbed. So you think you're getting high vitamin C from a tomato, for example, but much of it is not being utilized because it's being expelled with the genetic change of a GMO product. So it is also going to be found that it has the potential, I won't say it does, it has the potential to create disorder in your bodies, therefore dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find there's going to be more arthritis and more, you would say, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and et cetera. I don't want to put fear out there, but I would say staying close to nature is a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. So we can rehabilitate the land, can we not?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'm a terrible gardener. We have space, and I'm trying, but, oh, Lord, if it's up to me, we're all in trouble.
You are good, my little one. What you show me is that you have a beautiful garden site. It needs to be, you say, tilled properly, nutrients added to it, because it is rather dead earth right now.
Oh, okay.
You don't have the nutrients there, and then again, to create the aeration, and, well, we could go into a whole gardening section, but I will say to you that you need some nutrients in that land.
Thank you so much. And I also probably need to love it like my neighbor does, because it would probably make it a lot stronger, eh?
Well, your neighbor has better earth.
Oh, she has.
It is more nutrient full.
Maybe I'll sneak over in the dead of night.
So have her come over and help you.
She would.
Absolutely.
But as far as the healing, so we're talking about healing land and healing water. There's a lot about water right now, too, isn't there? That the water's been really polluted, hasn't it?
In many, many cases, it's true. In many of your rivers, and yes, it is very polluted, from the fallout from the air traffic and activities such as volcanoes and disasters. There's that sort of fallout that creates a problem not only in the air but in the waters, as well as you have those that choose to use it as their sewer system, which is not always the greatest option.
Yeah.
So the waters can be purified, and this is true. Mm-hmm. There are many ways in which to do it. Much of it will need to be done through that of, I want to use the word, chemical treatments and or your tertiary plants where you tertiary areas, you can do this naturally where you have ponds with plants, wildlife, fish, etc., that can absorb some of these negatives and regenerate it into a positive, usable water.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have that opportunity. And there are other things that you could use in your waters in order to purify and generate positive energy that your bodies would assimilate much, much better.
Mm. There's a lot of people working on these things, aren't there?
It's true. It's mm-hmm. very, very true through the process. It's not just simply a filtration process.
Mm-hmm.
It is a treatment process, and you can do it in a very, very natural way with all the products that are natural to Earth.
Mm. That's wonderful news. And I'm really interested in healing these days. There's a lot about physical healing that seems Oh, there's several things going on. One is people are getting infections like nobody's business. And that I think that's a, I don't know, you can tell me what that's a byproduct of. But I also noticed that many, many people are getting better and better at healing in natural ways. And it's like it's opening. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, this comes with the ascension process that's going on. As it is that your bodies are beginning to resonate in a higher vibration, the cells are at a higher vibration, and the light is becoming brighter and brighter within each of you, you're finding that the energy that you're drawing, because your chakras are being cleared, many of you are going through chakra clearing, you're going through openings, you're working in some of the energies such as yoga, and meditation is very, very important. So you're allowing, on an etheric level, a grand cleansing. And as you go through the cleansing process, you're allowing more energy to flow through. And yes, you're right. More and more, it's becoming more popular. What's happening as well with that of a world that's very mobile that you live in, you're finding that the East and the West, the philosophies of the East and West are beginning to blend more and more.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is. It's excellent for you. So in the Eastern ways, you're using more, you're finding more holistic ways in which to handle illnesses and dis-ease, not disease, but dis-ease in your bodies, as well as this energy movement that's taking place. And you're seeing more and more miracles take place. The Western medicine is also important, and I wish to interject this because so many in your world, as it is that you're growing in a more natural, you're modifying your own lives to fit a more natural earthly life, you're throwing Western medicine out the window. I'm going to say let's back up a little bit and take a look at that because it is so much of what's being developed can be harmful, that's true. But so much of what's being developed truly is channeled information. You have very brilliant scientists that are listening to their intuitions. As they listen to their intuitions and they see through the eyes of science, they begin to manipulate and shift different chemicals, which are all earth compounds, so that it is that it can assimilate in the body to redesign, redevelop, to create a cellular vibration that will assist your physical bodies. And I'm not going to say all medicines are good, and I'm not going to say they're all good for everyone, because that would be a false statement. But I am saying that blend the East and West. They both have very, very good qualities. And your doctors are humans. It's okay that they might make a mistake, as long as you are very aware of your own bodies and you pay attention to what you need.
Well, that's very interesting, and I do appreciate what you're saying, because, boy, sometimes Western medicine just will fix things in a hurry. I think the biggest problem is that it becomes so expensive that it's just for the elite in a way.
And that's true, and in most of your world, that is very true. The poor, they are left to die in the streets, and the rich, they have all the greatest of opportunities. And you're correct in your assumption that this is inappropriate.
But they die anyway. Rich people also die,
that's
right?
True. Yes, that's true. It is one of those guarantees, you say.
We don't get out of this alive.
My blessings, little one. You'll come join me.
So one of the questions I also, you know, we spoke of, or you spoke of the rising of the feminine. You use different terms, but that there's more of a feminization of the way we're talking and so on. And I was wondering if you see family structures rejuvenating. You know how so many families have broken apart. And in this country, which is so rabidly independent in its thinking, individuals are we going to develop communities? Are we going to reunite and develop family better again? Do you have any perceptions on that?
On a worldly basis, it is already redeveloping.
Okay, great.
Many are starting to find the need to care for one another. Your country in particular has a whole different attitude toward family and connection. The most of the world it really revolves about survival. And even in large congregations of people, city, you have this survival ethic that you need one another. You're pack animals. You need one another. And you need that coexistence together in a family unit so that you have that strength to work together. And it provides a greater abundance for each person in that family as long as they are coexisting in a positive way. It's a very positive thing. In your culture, your mobility is such and your availability to one another is so great that you have lost that connect to family. Mm-hmm. It's about the individual. And when you talk about westernizing the world, what's happening is you are becoming so mobile that you are spreading out so greatly that you have lost that very finite, very fine thread that holds family together. And so that thread becomes your telephone line, for example, or the great satellite in the sky. Mm-hmm. And so you have yourself in a position that you're connecting, and the advent of your internet, your opportunities with Skype and some of these other you call face-to-face opportunities, you can stay more connected to family. And in that way, yes, you are starting to become more family-oriented, again, less individual and more, how is this family going to survive? How are we going to pull together for one another? So with technology, you are becoming more, you're regaining your consciousness of family, which even though you're spread out around the world, that consciousness is coming back. And yes, it is going to be a better world as a result.
And I thank you for that. The other thing I was thinking is many families broke apart because of the revelations, the hidden abuses and so on, right?
True.
And
absolutely.
It would be nice to think that we're all trying to rise out of being an abusive species and reunite with that sensitivity and consciousness. Do you think that's happening?
Yes, and it's going to happen more and more. One of the blessings of your, shall we say, press and the blessings of your modern times where words can be spoken with a bit more freedom in your culture is that you're going to find more and more that those that are abusive will be shunned.
Uh-huh.
And those that are loving and brought into a nurturing environment and can in turn nurture, they will, I want to use the word coagulate, they want to gather together. And it will be good. And so more and more the teachings will be toward loving energy. And those that are abusive will learn how to manage their anger mm-hmm. and or their obsessions, compulsions, so that it is that they will become more agreeable within the tribe. Mm-hmm. If you look at families as though they are tribes, and if you will think in terms of ancient time, of tribal time, those that were, shall I say, bad actors, mm-hmm. those that were mischief makers, hurtful, mm-hmm. they were shunned. Mm-hmm. They were pushed out, mm-hmm. told to go. And so what's happening in your world with all of the voices that can be heard is more and more it's going to become apparent that the negative will be pushed and the light will come forward and the positive will become the present place of life.
That's wonderful. And I suppose forgiveness is one of the major keys to loving, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You must be in a state of forgiveness. Curious, many of you will ask these questions about forgiveness. And I will say to them, look in your heart and find a place where it is the healing heart, a heart of forgiveness, that can look at those around that have caused harm and recognize that it is in their misguidance or their misdirection that their behavior has become harmful, and to forgive, but do not forget. Mm-hmm. Because in forgetting what then happens, that doesn't mean live in that trauma, but that means to recognize as a teaching that these people that have created the struggle. They are great teachers, and you can move forward from that teaching. You can learn from it, forgive it. More importantly, forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
But to be aware of the teaching that took place there. So as you are moving forward, you're moving forward in clear hearts where you can surround all the beautiful ones before you in the love that you would choose to create for your world.
Wow. And when we learn forgiveness, we're less defensive too, aren't we?
Mm. Yes.
Also, I'm very interested in the brain, for example, the number of patterns that we have, programs that we have that seem to define us. It's a relentless definition tool, like with addictions or even being a disruptor or something. We have patterns in us, and I'm seeing more and more that those can be changed, so people are feeling a lot more freedom. How do you see addictions going on the planet and the terrible drug stuff that's going on and the amount of depression that's going on? How do you see all that?
Much of it is learned. Mm-hmm. Because it is that when you come into your little bodies, your light comes into the infant, you are very, very innocent. You carry an innate structure and you carry a biological aspect to you. And some biologies carry with it the tendency, your DNA, the tendency toward addictions. It's present. So for those who are truly biologically in a body with DNA structures that indicate addictions, they need to receive the proper help and assistance so that they can find pathways that will lead them well. But much of what's happening in your world, in your culture now, is that it is a learned behavior. You have been given an opportunity to go out and explore. You have more time to go and explore your world. And so you're exploring the drugs and alcohol. You're exploring all the toxins that you know can be very hurtful to this beautiful physical body.
Mm-hmm.
It is an organism, and so you throw toxins and poisons into it, and then you wonder why it doesn't work right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, look at what you're doing. Anger is taught. Anger is, and again, there are aspects that can be a result of your DNA where, for example, your brain doesn't have the chemicals that prevent depression. Serotonin and some of the other chemicals where it will connect its nervous system appropriately so that you're healthy on a happy state all the time. Depression is a very common process.
It's very common these days. Huge.
It is very common.
Yes.
And some of it is because you have so much time to think about it. If it is that you were still nurturing the land and you were responsible for your own food sources outside of your big markets, you would be in a position, you wouldn't have time to be depressed. You'd be tired. You'd be working out in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have time for that. You would be in a place that, and if you did, you would not be healthy. You would not be able to eat. You would, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to a positive note here and say that in your world, much of it is due to that you have a lot of free time. And so you're doing things and acting in ways, experimental, that is not always to the benefit of your physical body, which includes your brain.
Mm.
Because the brain is where these addictions and anger activities and some of the, shall we say, misguided behaviors, such as pedophilia and et cetera,
mm-hmm.
You are in a position that you are exploring and you're learning about your world, but you're not going in directions that are beneficial to you as a society.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes quite destructive. That's starting to change, and that's really important because as you are moving into this more ascended, more nurturing time, you're going to find that you're going to be nurturing one another and you're going to be working toward a more natural lifestyle so that you can become, I'm going to say, healthier.
Mm-hmm.
On all levels.
Mm.
But much of this is due to too much sedentary time.
Now that makes sense. But also, I was just thinking as you said that, that back, I think it was in the 50s, the, some of the drug stuff was being used to open people's minds so that they could see beyond, or so that we could get a much greater vista about what more unlimited humanity is. You know what I mean? And I think that there's a draw. I don't know. What do you think? There's a kind of a drive in people to want to expand, open, and see beyond. I think that's part of the push.
And there is true in certain societies, mm-hmm. or portions of societies, where they are wanting to reach out to some of these natural and not so natural drugs, hallucinogenics. Mm-hmm. And there are many that are very natural that have been explored, and through ancient times, the high priests and priestesses and the very high spiritual beings will find themselves ingesting some of these to have that great insight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say you don't need a toxin. Mm-hmm. You don't need something that intoxicates you so that you do this out-of-body experience. Meditate. Mm-hmm. Meditate, my little ones. Mm-hmm. Meditation is the greatest form to receive the highest level of vision and enlightenment.
Well, that makes sense. There's another funny flash. I remember Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, when somebody handed him some acid, he took a whole handful and he stood there and he transmuted it right in front of everybody. He never did get high or anything. He used his will and his meditation ability, right?
Yes. And you all have that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But you're in a world, in your culture, and much of the Western civilization, you want everything right now. Mm-hmm. It's, you have a headache, you want it to go away now. You don't want to go out to the bark of willow and steep it in and create the tincture and create your medicine you call an aspirin. You want to go to the bottle, take a pill, and have it go away. Well, the same's true with your spiritual ventures. You want to go someplace and smoke something, ingest something. It goes into your cellular body, and your brain gets all excited and goes to places. Or you will fast to the point that your body is in starvation and you have these out-of-body experiences. I won't say that some of these in that of great ancestral times was all bad, but I will say it's not necessary. If you meditate and if you take time to nourish your body appropriately, to quench it appropriately, and you spend time in that light presence where you are in that consciousness, you can rise up and receive all kinds of fantastic, valuable, good, and healthy information. And you can draw that back to Earth in a consciousness that is accepted by all levels of humanity. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it is, you'd say, many in your world seem to think it's rather charming to ingest and use the hallucinogenics for their, shall we say, spiritual trips.
To go on
some
a trip,
they meditate.
Yes, that's great. Mm-hmm. I love that. Now I'm going to throw in a couple more things before we run out of time. What about autism? It's really a big deal these days, and there's a lot of hue and cry, a lot of fussing about it. Like, what did it come from? Is it evolutionary? Is it multidimensional? Is it food? Is it vaccination?
It's all of the above.
Oh, my.
It's autism, and I would go so far as some of the other things like Tourette's. Mm-hmm. I could list a number of them. Many of these, shall we say, new illnesses, they're not so new. They've been around for a very, very long time. They are a result of all of what you've just said. Some of the Asperger's is a result of immunizations. Mm-hmm. It has just created a body that's super sensitive to human activity. The skin is a little more sensitive. The hearing and sight is more sensitive. The vaccinations for some, it's been very, very detrimental, and that is some of the autism and some of the other little annoyances, they're not so little for many, mm-hmm. that have created this. So it is all those things. Much of it is food allergy. Many mm-hmm. of you talk about ADHD. That's a food allergy in many, many cases, not just sugar. You blame it all on sugar, but it really isn't. It could be gluten. It could be nuts.
It could be color, hey?
It could be what?
Color, food coloring.
Food coloring, yes. Mm-hmm. There's so many different allergies, and it goes back to eat what would be natural. Mm-hmm. Because if you're eating the natural wheats, for example, the spelt found in your Egypt, it is a wheat that you can digest. Hmm. The gluten is not heavy in it. Hmm. And so when you're looking now at, many of you are talking about gluten-free diets, that is causing all of these different symptoms, from exceptional tiredness to you just can't think, your brain's not working.
You mean from the gluten?
Yes.
Hmm.
So you're finding that if you will go back to what was natural, stop consuming so much of the GMO,
yeah.
you're going to find that many of these illnesses are really responses to your consumption of foods that are not
of toxicity.
Good for your body.
So what about Alzheimer's? Is it the same? It's aluminum? Or what do you think it is?
Well, consuming aluminum has been found to be a contributor, that's true. Much of it is the pollutants that you just eat, breathe, etc., you consume them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of it. And part of it is a genetic nature. There's been Alzheimer's for all of time, where the brain begins to deteriorate in a natural way.
Because it seems like if we're going to encourage longevity, which we are doing fairly well with as a species, mm-hmm. it's a shame that so many have to live those last 10 years, for example, in painful dementia, don't you think?
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. In most cases, it's more painful for the family.
Yes.
Because as the person suffering from these, except in the beginning to mid stages when they are very aware that something's not right, as they become more progressed, they really don't know mm-hmm. that they're in this state. But their family does.
Mm-hmm.
And they become, the family becomes very uncomfortable with the illness, and so they tend to slowly depart the presence. They don't go visit anymore. As a result of that, those that are in these states of dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, they find themselves very alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that aloneness is what really causes for them the greatest harm.
And the thing you were talking about earlier about living in the tribe consciousness, we've lost that. So we
yes,
just isolate absolutely. The ones that don't fit in, right?
That's absolutely correct. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, really.
And so if you as a species is uncomfortable, you will eliminate the discomfort.
Mm.
And that's why you eliminate these that are not so well.
Wow. And we're almost at the end. Can you make any recommendation for a kind of meditation or some technique we could all throw into the mix here?
Meditate in the light. When you bring yourself to a state, each and every one, that you take yourself into your highest consciousness, your God presence, into the light, into that universal presence that allows for each of you to bask in the presence of love. Take time to represent love, kindness, an expression to one another where you are assisting and growing together, where you have a universal consciousness as a people, that you can bring your consciousness at a higher vibration, reaching out into the universe surrounding Earth with this high vibration of love. Because it is through love that all things can be done. And love will win. in all circumstances. So take time to meditate on love and your experience as you choose to be a part of the co-creation of a loving planet. And watch the shift in your world. And as your world, your little minute world, shifts, it will shift every other person that you are in contact with. Because you become the light.
Oh, thank you so much. It has been such a wonderful, heart-expanding treasure to have you and Terry back on Paradigm Shifters. And I thank you for your great work.
It is my honor for you, as it is that we, she and I, we are here to present to the world, to each of you, the beautiful gift of love.
And we're
my
so,
blessings to you.
We're so grateful. My blessings to you as well. And thank you so much for listening to Paradigm Shifters, everyone. This show will be podcasted tomorrow. And many, many blessings. And good night.